This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can re-listen to this program on my website, and it can be downloaded to your own computer from there. So if you want those addresses, get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down. We appreciate any correspondence we have with you, and you can do it by mail or through the website. Now, today we're going to continue with our study of Genesis 22, where Abraham's faith was tested. And we'll remember how that God told him to take his son, his unique son Isaac, and offer him on a mountain that God would tell him, where God would tell him to go. And he was to do that by faith. And Abraham knew that while his son might die, God was able to raise him from the dead. And we find that out from Hebrews chapter 11. We've pointed that out before. But what I've noticed as we look at the early part of Genesis is how blessing always follows the test. And we're going to look today at the blessing that has followed the test that Abraham passed, the test of faith that Abraham passed. You'll notice that the rainbow came after the flood. And so there was the storm, there was the flood, and Noah was remembered in the ark. God didn't forget him. He didn't leave him there to drift forever. And he brought him out of the ark and then gave him that beautiful rainbow to remind him that he would never, that God would never again destroy the earth with a flood. We know the day's coming when there's going to be great tribulation on the earth, and there are people who think we're in it. I'm one who believes that that tribulation is coming, and it will be much greater than anything that we have seen in our present day, and it will come after the true children of God, the true children by faith, the true church has been taken away from the wrath to come. We've been told that we've been delivered from the wrath to come, but there's going to be great tribulation. And after tribulation, the nation of Israel is going to repent, and they're going to accept the fact that they crucified their Messiah. And then the Lord in Revelation 19 will descend on the white horse and will destroy their enemies and will establish them as the nucleus of his millennial kingdom, and the millennial blessings will come after tribulation. And when I begin to study the issue of salvation in the Bible, there's always repentance before belief. And repentance isn't necessarily turning away from every sin you've ever committed, because in many cases, we don't know all the sins that we have ever committed. But repentance is coming to grips with the fact that where we have arguments with God, we need to change our mind. We need to change our mind about good works getting us to heaven. We need to change our mind about joining the church getting us to heaven. We need to change our mind about ceremony, baptism, or the Lord's Supper getting us to heaven. And we need to find out that we're in trouble. That is, as sinners, we deserve eternal conscious punishment. And when we come to that point where we realize we cannot save ourselves, it's interesting that at that point, it seems that the Holy Spirit is always there, ready to help us rest on the truth that Christ died for us, and salvation comes after the tribulation of conviction of sin. We sometimes in the old days we called it soul trouble. That's not a popular term today, but most people have to get concerned about the relationship with God before they'll turn from what they thought was right in their own sin and their own way of worshiping to the Lord for salvation. And while I say repentance isn't turning from all your sins, in many cases it is the pleasure of sin that keeps people from turning to Christ. They're afraid life will no longer be enjoyable, that the life that they've always lived and with which they're comfortable will no longer be the life that they can live. And when they think those things, they're absolutely right, and they need to deal with that, because the Lord gives us a better life, a new life in Christ, a life of peace, a life of joy, and a life that won't be sin-free, but it'll be a life where sin will no longer have dominion over us, and while there will be temptations and failures, we will also have the Lord with us to forgive us and to keep us. And so when we look at salvation, it comes after the conviction that something is wrong and we need to get right with God. And there's a great blessing in salvation. The Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, when we come to Genesis 22, we're going to drop down to verse 13, where we read, "Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son." And so here we have the picture of the sinner substitute. This is what Christ did for us when he died for us at the cross of Calvary. He bore the punishment that we deserved. And so Isaac had a sacrifice, a substitute. And then in Genesis 22:14, Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son." And that's really his unique son, because there was another son, Ishmael, which was not the promised son. And so this is the unique promised son. Then he says, "Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. So when we look at the obedience of Abraham, he was called to offer his son Isaac as he was supposed to offer him on the altar that he would build. And he got up, he willingly went to that place. And when he got there, he apparently thought that he was going to offer his son and that God was going to raise that son from the dead. But when he got there, there was a ram caught in the thicket. Abraham had lifted the knife and was ready to slay his son, but the knife didn't have to fall on his son because there was a ram caught in the thicket. There was a sinner's substitute. And Isaac, though he was a chosen son, and though he was in the descendant, in the lineage of the Lord, just there was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then we go down through the lineage that comes to the Lord. Even though he's in that lineage, he was a person who needed a sacrifice for his sins, just as we do. Now, it's interesting that Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," and he says, "It's to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." And there's a question about where this location is. There are many who would like to believe that Isaac was offered on Golgotha, where the Lord was crucified. Others say that the place where this happened was where the temple was built. And they can't be the exact same places. And the reason they can't be the exact same places is because the temple was inside the city of Jerusalem. And we read that the Lord went outside the city, was crucified outside the gate. Hebrews 11 makes it clear that we are to go unto him outside the gate. And so we're bearing his reproach. So Calvary was outside the city. The temple was inside the city. And some say they were both on a hill that where there were these two locations, and the hill or the mountain was called Moriah. And so Calvary and the temple could both be on Mount Moriah. But I personally believe myself that Abraham was offered where the temple was built. Now, I can't prove that, and if you want to believe that he was offered on Golgotha, that's okay, but this area was a holy area and was always important to the Lord. And the point is that where Isaac was offered, there was blessing provided there, and that blessing was the blessing of a fulfillment of the picture of the ram caught in the thicket when we see the Lord crucified outside the city gates and rejected by the religious system of his day. So the Lord will provide, and in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And whether that would be outside the city gates at Calvary or Golgotha, or whether that's inside the city gates at the temple, both of them speak of the salvation and the worship of the living God. And after Abraham had been faithful to the Lord with regard to Isaac, then the angel of the Lord called Abraham, and he tells him, because you've not withheld your son, your only son, because you are willing to dedicate him to me, now blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. When we come to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, we find out that that blessing comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. So in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Abraham was the father of faith. And when we look at the descendants being as the stars of heaven, some have said that's the heavenly people, that's the church, that's those who have trusted in Christ and are his spiritual people. And notice in this particular place, the promises are first to the stars of heaven, the heavenly people, and then to the sand which is on the seashore, and that speaks of the earthly people. And so the children of Israel are going to be a great population as well, and while they have become great under Solomon and under some of the Old Testament kings, there's a day coming in the millennium when they will be much more prosperous, as I understand it. That day is coming. So Abraham not only fathered a physical people with an earthly people with earthly promises and an earthly land, he also fathered a spiritual people with spiritual promises and a spiritual land. And those of us who trust in Christ today have entered into this blessing where it says, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. And we're blessed when we are born into the family of God by faith in Christ. And I hope you're one of those who has been blessed in that way. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon our listeners and upon this program. We trust that you can bless that which has been of thyself. We thank thee for thy love. In our Savior's name, amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.